Welcome to Nature's Portal for Transformation. We're continuing this series of wanders and wonders down other under. Happy solstice, everyone. Happy solstice. We're at this time of year of full expression, whether you're in the northern hemisphere and it's our longest day, or the southern hemisphere where it's the shortest day right now. It's still this time when the sun is kind of pausing in the sky. We don't change the amount of light added or subtracted per day very much, kind of leading into the solstice and going out of it. So yeah, it's a great time for reflecting. I just returned from a trip out to the West Coast where I was doing a retreat for my forest therapy certification. So I got that complete, so that's pretty exciting. I will be offering some virtual events in the future at some point, and forest therapies builds on forest bathing, if you've heard of that, taking people out into nature, helping them to connect through their senses and create a reciprocal relationship with nature and the nature beings. So yeah, it was really great, and I fortunately got back before all the smoke started coming down from the north. Once I got back to Calgary, it was kind of smoky, but now with the rain, hopefully that's gonna really help the firefighting efforts. Hopefully that'll get to the areas that really need it. And that's around the world, I think, right now. So I've got a little PowerPoint presentation that I'll go through just to talk about our bird friends, our bird allies that are coming in for this particular one, the ones that wanted to come through to support radiating your unique expression out into the world. So I will talk about them. I'll then just leave a little bit of time if there's just general questions about what I presented about the birds, and then we'll go into the intuitive readings and see which one wants to come through and support you to radiate your unique expression. So, so let me just share my screen here. So, this is my cover image for today. I did a show last year sometime that was more about the different landscapes. And this is an area in Western Australia that's called the Pinnacles, which is very cool because you kind of drive in over this rise and then you just see all these stone formations that are sticking up like these beings. They are these stone beings sticking out of the sand here. And then in the background, the backdrop is this white is just a huge sand dune of white sand that has blown in there. So it's quite the dramatic backdrop for this space and place that the energy there is just amazing. And after I went through there, it was just so mystical. You can kind of walk through the where all the stones are, all the pillars are. And then someone told me there are a lot of people that go there and do different spiritual events and so on. So, you can really feel the energy there. So our first birds, I actually saw them when I was there at the Pinnacles. And this is the Galah. The first few birds we're going to look at are members of the parrot family. The parrot family is so great for expression, that outward expression with all their color and so on. So the Galah is also called the rose-breasted cockatoo or the pink and gray cockatoo. Males and females look the same. They really have kind of this bouncy flight. So much about them is about playfulness, really bringing this spirit of fun and playfulness. So these two birds that are on the wire here off to the left, they're just playing like they were doing loop-de-loops like around the wire. And often when I would see the cockatoos like go to land on a tree, even they kind of hook their claw onto a little branch and like swing around it and come to a stop. So they really have a lot of fun with each other. These two were being very affectionate, kind of kissing each other, and then one would go underneath and they would just be really playful when they were on that wire. And then these two, they're sitting on one of the stone formations in the Pinnacles there. Like most cockatoos, I don't have a good picture of it. They can raise those crown feathers up to give them, just some for their breeding, mating, their mating dance and so on. They'll raise those. Sometimes it can be a territorial thing as well, but really beautiful. So they can really congregate, like up to 1,000 birds can come together sometimes in these big flocks, which is quite dramatic to see just this pink, gray, you know, streak going across the sky. They can fly up to 70 miles an hour. So they're very fast, very agile, flying through the trees and so on. They do form permanent pair bonds. So they're a monogamous bird. Unless one dies, then they will take a new partner then. Like most of the parrots, they tend to nest in tree hollows that are lined with leaves. Both sexes in this one will take turns incubating the eggs. Some parrots, it's the female that stays on the nest and the male will come and feed her. But this is a balanced relationship. Each of them take a turn here. And interestingly, these guys have sometimes been found to crossbreed with some of the other cockatoos, especially the sulfur-crested cockatoos, which are the ones that are white except for the little yellow part coming off of their crest. So I'm not sure exactly what that would look like, but some combination of those. They really support seed dispersal. They're seed eaters. They take grass seeds from the ground as well. And then as they're carrying them, sometimes they're dropping them as they go. So that really supports, especially for the acacias and the she oak trees. So really important for maintaining habitat in various areas. Big flocks, as I talked about. They tend to have quite doting and loving family bonds that are created. The babies will stay with the parents anywhere from months to years, depending on their breeding cycle. So they do tend to stick together. Like most cockatoos, they got a loud voice. They can really shriek like a lot of the parrot family. So they can bring through that verbal expression. And when they're babies, the way that you can tell the males apart from the females is that the females will have pink eyes and the males have dark brown eyes. So it's really the only way that you can tell them apart. The word gala comes from an Aboriginal word, and it's also gala for Australians is used for as an expression, like, oh, you're such a gala, you're such a clown, right? You're being silly, that type of thing. So it's a slang word that gets used in that way. But they will play with toys. You'll see them on the ground sometimes, like they'll be rolling, just playing with each other, sliding down wires, hanging upside down, kind of tumbling around. So again, this very strong frequency of playfulness, right? We tend to get so serious sometimes about things, and the gala really brings through, you know, don't take things so seriously. Remember to bring some play into life. They also bring a frequency of community, of adaptability. They're one of the parrots that's found all over the place in Australia. They seem to adapt well to places that become urbanized and figure out a way to still be viable and live in those environments. They have this frequency of freedom, this kind of...
Sorry, guys. We just completely lost power here. That's what happened.
Okay. Can someone give me a thumbs up that you can see that okay? Or just, I don't see anybody. Okay. Thanks, Dakota. Thanks so much. Okay. So here we go. Gala. Freedom, outgoing, playfulness, community, adaptability. Don't be afraid to let your silly side show. And I just look at the coloration, like that pink is really bringing that love frequency. Especially to places where things may seem a little dull, a little bit gray, and kind of breaking through that, receiving with love with those pink head feathers that it has as well. So that's our first one. Next up, we have the rainbow lorikeet. So fun. These guys, they mainly eat fruit and pollen. So on their tongues, they have a little brush on their tongues that helps them collect pollen and nectar from the flowers. So it was really fun to watch them in the trees, just getting into the flowers. And again, they'll often be together in pairs, but sometimes they come together in huge flocks. One area I was in, they were just up in the trees, this huge, huge flocks of hundreds and hundreds of these rainbow lorikeets. And again, the sound, holy smokes, they're very, very loud when they all get together. But bringing in this rainbow energy, all of this color. This is one where the female will incubate the eggs and the male will come and feed her while she's doing that. And then they'll raise the chicks together. So lots of different colors. I love on the tails how you get kind of this weaving together of all the different colors that they carry. They really bring this frequency of vitality and vibrancy, bringing that rainbow energy here. Very intelligent, affectionate, the balance of the male and female, and really support showing all of your colors and partaking of the nectar of life. Next one is the Australian king parrot. So this is one of the few parrots where the males and the females are, their coloration is different. Whoops, here comes somebody. So the male is on the right side here. It's got the, it's the only parrot that has a fully red head, right down to the breast, green wings and dark tail feathers. Whereas the female on the left has the green head and upper chest. Green tail feathers and then red below that. So yeah, it's much easier obviously to tell them apart. Now the king parrots, they found that when their green wings are viewed under ultraviolet light, that the feathers can appear to actually be more yellow, to have this kind of prominent yellow glow. And the birds have four types of cones in their retinas and their eyes compared to the three that we have. So they can see into the ultraviolet wavelengths. They mostly forage in trees for seeds and fruit. Like other parrots, they will go into a hollow of a tree to lay their eggs. Often again seen in pairs or small family groups. I saw them when I was in the Blue Mountain area of Australia. Quieter than the other parrots, especially compared to other parrots. They don't have as big a vocabulary, but I really like the green, just brings that energy of groundedness and nature connection. There's this vibration of peace and harmony, empowerment, that red chest, red belly area, really bringing that personal empowerment, confidence. And with that ultraviolet sight that they have, supporting the clairvoyance and seeing beyond the surface of things, attuning to hidden frequencies. This is something that they can support. The male, the masculine energy, bringing that fire energy, and then the green helping to really ground that. So supporting that action taking. With the female, it's more green, that deeper nature connection, and yet the stimulation down on the lower belly, that stimulation of creative fertility is something they can support you with. So together, I find them very symbolic of the relationship between the earth and the sun. And that balance. Next up, we have the crimson rosella in Australia, but there is an eastern rosella that is found both in Australia and New Zealand. I don't have any good pictures of that one, but I did at one place in New Zealand see it way up in the trees. They were always kind of tucked behind the branches and leaves, so I couldn't really get a great color or a great picture of it, but it's got more of a bright yellows and royal blues and so on. And even the rosellas, the crimson rosellas, Sometimes they'll be more yellow or more orange. Some of them have more, like these upper back feathers are more olive colored. Tend to be found in small flocks. They like the seeds of the eucalypts. They like grasses and shrub seeds. They do feed on some insects and some tree blossoms as well. Still nesting in the tree hollows, high in the tree. Female alone will incubate the eggs, but both sexes will take care of the chicks once they've hatched. They also are ones that have more photopigments in their eyes than other animals, and they think that that helps them to recognize each other and all the different colorations that they have. So another member of the parrot family that can support those clairvoyant abilities. The name Rosella is believed to have originated from an area in Sydney, Australia, that's called Rose Hill. So they've just taken it from there. Another bird that's monogamous, they tend to mate for life, and they have a more distinctive call that they give. So these birds, also their color changes from when they're chicks to as they kind of mature into adults. And so there's this kind of transitional and transformational aspect that they bring. You know, there's certain things in life that we have to let drop away to embrace the new, and it embodies that. That red color also bringing through this passion and love. And with that change of color, there's also this energy of finding yourself, finding your true color, your uniqueness. This one on the right, you can see him like pulling the grasses towards them, like eating the seeds off the top and so on. So these are seekers. They'll seek things out. And those vibrant colors also bring an essence of happiness. Next up, this is a rose-crowned fruit dove. And they're often very high up in the canopy. I saw it when I was near Cairns in the north area. So I was very fortunate that it decided to come a little lower and it was just sitting there. I'm like, oh my gosh, okay, stay there. Let me get your picture. They tend to feed on fruit that's high up in the canopy in typically the rainforest. So they're really, really important for helping the rainforest to continue to thrive because they're dispersing the seeds of these different rainforest plants. Especially, it's said that they love figs. So they will distribute the fig trees about. They tend not to come down to the earth very often, down to the ground, even for drinking. So a lot of birds, right, will come down when they need water. They will take dew off the trees, off the leaves, and that's how they get their water. They tend to swallow fruits whole that are up to about an inch, 2.5 centimeters in diameter. And so they love figs. They love fruit of other species of the rainforest, trees and palms and the vines there. And they'll tend to feed singly or in pairs or small groups. You don't tend to see them in large flocks. Both the males and the females have the little pink crown there, but it does tend to be more intense in the males. And their courtship display for the males, and this is true for a lot of doves, it's just they don't all have the pink crown, where they bow. So here when they bow to the female, they're showing off that pink crown that they have, that rose crown. Now, pairs will have just a single chick. And so they'll really raise that single chick. They both partake in that activity. So it's really bringing this frequency of like really bringing your focus to a single creation at a time. They really are symbolic of the rainforest and its fruits. The males tend to have the lower chest, like this one, the more richer colors, whereas the females tend to be the greens and grays with just that little duller cap of pink on top. They bring this calm serenity. When I look at it, I think of like that serenity of a beautiful sunset. It's just like a relaxed nature that they bring. Spreading the seeds of spreading abundance. Grace is something that I feel comes through them. And yeah, just a really, really beautiful dove. And of course, dove generally is associated with that love frequency. Our next one wanted to be included, but we it was with our last one. So in April, when I did the first video cast, Tui from New Zealand came in then. Because we're talking about expression, it wanted to come in again. Not sure if it's going to come through in the readings or it's just here to hold space, but this is a really interesting bird. It's got those two little white feathers at the throat, really helping to bring that purity of expression. It's a bird that can mimic other birds. It can talk like a human. Last time, or if you go back to the slide cast from the last one, I played a little video of it talking. It was pretty amazing. So it holds this paradoxical energy of, you know, this white at the throat, which symbolizes purity and truth of expression. And yet it can be a mimic. So for me, that's helping to discern, you know, truth from just what's being mimicked, you know, someone just expressing something else they heard and it's not something that they truly believe versus the truth of their expression. They also, the sounds and clicks and things that they pick up, they weave them together in very unique ways. So supporting that unique verbal expression to come through into something new and a harmonious whole. And finding the sweetness in life. This is part of the honey eater family. So they also love fruits and nectar and that type of thing. They're very, very protective of their areas. So setting those healthy boundaries. Yeah, really, really interesting bird. All right. Next up, we have the Azure Kingfisher, and I did do a show last year on the kingfishers, but I wasn't showing the slides then, so no one got to see it. When I was feeling in for this show, this one wanted to come in. So it's a small kingfisher, just beautiful, beautiful azure blue color, found in northern eastern Australia and Tasmania. There's also a similar looking sacred kingfisher and forest kingfisher. There's little differences in colorations with them. And then New Zealand has their New Zealand kingfisher, which is a similar size and a blue pink kind of coloration like this. So this is probably the most intense blue of all those different kingfishers. Beautiful kind of coral breast and feet color that it has. They are diving kingfishers, like we would have in our parts. We have typically in North America, one of them is the belted kingfisher that are diving birds. And so they teach us this patience, you know, they're just sitting, waiting, watching for just that right moment to strike, to take that opportunity and being very accurate and very keen in that, being able to dive into the emotional waters and get the nourishment that's within there, which we can take metaphorically is gaining the wisdom that's underneath all the emotions. They, like our belted kingfishers that we have in North America, will dig a hole in embankments, a deep hole straight back, where they will have their nest in there. So this ability to really dig into things, to get to the real heart of the creative energy, finding nourishing environments, creating again, they have this frequency of healthy boundaries. So they do defend their territories, digging into those creative endeavors and creating a protective container for the creative process. And then we have the royal spoonbill. These birds are found in both Australia and New Zealand. You can see the spatula kind of shape of the bill. They mainly feed on fish in freshwater, or on shrimps in the tidal flats. They will eat some aquatic insects and other crustaceans as well. But the structure of their bill, what they do is just, they just sweep their bill through the water. Sometimes slow, sometimes they'll run and just sweep their bill along. So they need to be in water that's no more than about 40 centimeters, 16 inches deep over sand, mud, or clay, so they can have space to sweep the water with the bill, but still be able to stand. I did this close up here of the bill because I just find the almost the tiger stripe on it. Just a really fascinating kind of hearkening back to this ancient energy. And their bills are really, really sensitive. So when they are sweeping their bill through the water and they open it a bit, it has all these different feeling vibratory sensors within it called papillae. And they can feel then for prey. So even if the water's a little bit murky, they can feel that there's something there that they can feed on. So really strong support for clairsentience, for that feeling ability. Even if you can't see what's there, you can feel whether there's something there that's of value and nutritious for you or not. They're also very, very sensitive to the environment. So they really indicate if the environment, the waters are healthy or not, because they don't do well in toxic environments. So they do bring this sensitivity to the environment. There's a real grace with them. I don't have any pictures of it, but the males, there's some just small feathers that are coming out of the head. And so when it's breeding time and they're doing the little display, it's like this fan around their head of these little feathers that come out. It's really quite something, the pictures that I've seen of that. They do nest typically high up in trees, often in places where there's also herons and other water birds that are nesting. Herons also nest typically high up in trees and colonies, so they'll join often one of those colonies. So there's this kind of acceptance of diversity. There's a very much, you know, royal spoonbill says it all. There's this dignity and nobility of being integrity with yourself, and that white color bringing that purity and peace as well. Okay. All right. So that's our group for today.